Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. You're going to tell them? It's just the ushers are still at the door. The two ushers are still out at the door.
If you take time, I'll.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship this morning. And a couple of intimations before we get started. I hope everybody had a good gala day. The weather, the sun shone for us, didn't it? And we've still got it today, so that's been excellent. A couple of weeks, and from the gala day, thanks to Christine and our helpers, we won the best decorated street. So thank you. Everybody can take their time and look at all the decorations when you go out. So thank you very much to everybody involved in that. Our collection during the service today will be taken at the very end as you're leaving. The plates will be there as you leave, as you enter or leave, for you to put it in at your whatever suits you. So it won't be uplifted during the final hymn, in case you're wondering. We're going to try this and see how this works, to save everybody looking for their collection while they're singing the hymn. Okay? Our groups, we're almost finished for the summer. I know you're all happy, but we'll miss you. We will. So this is your final day, Jigsaw. So I hope you have a good day. And our knit and natter is on tomorrow and next Monday, and then that'll be it finished. The Bible study and the prayer night are both finished until August. And the Rainforest Cafe will be on after worship and on Wednesday. It is going to close for a couple of weeks in July, but the dates will be confirmed later on. And I think... The BBs, that's right. The BB taster session is on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock to 8. For anybody interested, I think it's a P1 and P2 at the moment for an anchor section to start sometime at the end of August, September. If any kids are interested, come along to that with their parents and we'll talk you through what's going to happen later on. Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I think too loud. You can hear me too much. Yes. Can we put it a little bit down? I'm too loud, I've been told. Check. Can you hear me now? Right. Good morning. How are we all? Enjoying the sun? Not too much, yeah? It's rare in Scotland, so yes, better. Enjoy it as much as you can. Well, today is the Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you all. Not the girl side, all the male. Even if you're not a father, you may not be biological father, you could be a spiritual father. You could be a father that you guide somebody and you do some things which is helpful for the younger generation. Now, let me tell you a stats, okay? I was listening to somebody and he said, you know, Father's Day, on a world ranking of all the days we celebrate, you know, where does the Father's Day stand? Number 20th, 20. You know what the second festival is, second day? Sorry? No, the second day celebrated all over the world. No. Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the second, and the first one is, as you can guess, what is it? Christmas. And you know, Halloween is on what place? Number 6. So first is God, second is mother, and then the devil, and then on number 20th are fathers. That's where the world has categorized and put us as fathers. But remember, my dear, one day somebody asked me, why don't we call and use inclusive words for God? Why we call him father and not our parent? He has all the attributes of mother. Why don't we call him a parent and only father? And I said, Jesus Christ said and called him Father, and that is enough for me. There is no if and but in that. World may not like God, but he is our Father. Father of all the orphans, Father of all the sinners, Father of the whole world. You know why? Because he gave his only begotten Son, the real Son, so that he can purchase us as a barter system. He gave himself to the world so that he can buy us in his blood. And that's what Father has done. So let us bow down, and to start our worship, let's pray for our fathers. Holy Father, on this day, we give thanks for every man who has carried the weight of love, who has tried, stumbled, learned, and then tried again. Though sometime he is neglected, but he is trying again. Lord, bless the Father who raised us, the fathers who were still learning, the fathers who long to be closer to your children, and the fathers who carry quiet grief because of the distance or circumstances that keeps them apart. Lord, we thank you for the stepfathers, the adoptive fathers, foster fathers, spiritual fathers. And Lord, every man who has offered guidance, protection, or a steady presence in someone's life. For their love, though imperfect, reflects a small but precious glimpse of your perfect fatherly heart. Lord, where fathers feel their future as a failure, Lord, bring grace. Where they feel weary, bring strength. Where they feel unseen, bring honor. Where they feel far from their children, bring comfort and hope. And remind us all that before any earthly story began, we were held by you, the best Father, the one who never leaves, never wounds, never withhold his love. Lord, teach us to rest in that love today, and give us peace and joy in you. We pray in our Father's name, the one who gave his Son to die for us, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Somebody said to me, please forgive your parents. It was their first time as well. It was their first time as well. Let's take a moment of silence. Prepare yourself to worship our Lord. And my theme today is about change, about transformation. What I was preaching last week, it's just a continuation of that. Let's bow down and worship. Come, dear all, worship the God who makes all things new. The God who changes hearts, renew minds, and bring life where there was none. The God who calls us to leave the old behind and walk in the newness of Christ. Today, we gather before the one who says, you must be born again. And the one who invites us to build our lives on his words. He is here. He is working. He is transforming his people. So come all, with open hearts and willing spirit, let us worship the Lord who changes us by his grace. Amen. Amen. Dear all, can you please stand and sing our first hymn, 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand if you're able. Great is thy faithfulness. Can you please join our hearts in our prayer again, the prayer of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving to our God. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we come before you with grateful hearts. Lord, you are the one who makes all things new. You are the God who breathes life into very souls, who transforms hearts, who calls us out of the old life into the newness of Christ. Lord, we adore you because you are faithful. You are patient with us, slow to anger, and you are full of mercy. You never stop working in us, Father, and your Holy Spirit is always shaping us into the likeness of Christ Jesus. But Lord God Almighty, we confess, as we stand in your presence, we confess that we do not always live as people who have been born again. We confess that the old ways still pull at us. We slip back into the old habits and attitudes that we do not honor. And it does not honor you, Father. Yes, though we call you Lord, Lord, yet we do not always do what you say and ask and be obedient to your will. Father, please forgive us. Forgive us for resisting your change, the transforming work you want to do in us. And forgive us for that moment when we let the world shape us more than your Holy Spirit. cleanse us, change us, and help us to walk in the new life, the life you have already given us, the change, renewed life. Lord, have mercy on us. And yet, even as we confess, Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you that you never give up on your children, no matter how stubborn we are. We thank you that the work you began in us, you will carry on to completion. And we thank you for the cross where our old self was crucified, dead, and for the empty tomb where our new life began at the day of resurrection, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who whispers truth in our ears, strengthen our hearts, and slowly transform us from inside out. Lord, we thank you for your kindness, for your patience, and your grace that meets us every day. So receive our worship, receive our confession, and receive our thanks, Lord. For you alone are worthy. You are our Father, our beloved brother, and a helper and companion, the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your name we pray. And we also join our hearts in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray together as a family and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May I please request the person who is reading, is it Neil? Please come forward, do the reading. It's from Romans 6, 1 to 11. Now read this, listen to this very carefully. Neil is a very good reader, I believe. I've never heard him reading. So please listen to this very carefully. And then John 3, 1 to 8. Thank you.
What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we may also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Second reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear from the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Neil. Can you please all clap for Neil? Very, very well. Thank you. Very truly, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot receive the eternal life. Now raise hand if you want an eternal life. None of you? Raise hands if you want eternal life. None of you want. You don't know what eternal life is? I'm not talking about your mortal body. I'm talking about, let's say, raise hand if you want eternal life in heaven. Well, if you don't want eternal life in heaven, what are you doing in the church? I'm not joking. If you don't want eternal life with Christ Jesus in heaven, we are not Christian. That's the concept I would like to share with you, and it's not a concept, it's the truth. Jesus said when he met with Nicodemus, he said, unless you die, unless you're born again, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you're born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot have eternal life. Now, most of us, I believe, I need to change my sentence, want an eternal life in heaven, but how many of you want to die to yourself? Raise hand. Am I speaking in theological jargons? I'm surprised. This is what the gospel is. This is the truth and the crux of the gospel in Romans 6 when he is speaking and Jesus is telling them to Nicodemus in John 3. He said, unless you're born again, you're not Christian because you are sinner. You are born sinner, wretched sinner, and you cannot receive an eternal life. You cannot be righteous unless you are newly born in Christ Jesus. Because your old self needs to be buried with Christ Jesus. First of all, die on the cross and then buried with Christ and then rose again. And then only you become Christian. Very truly, I tell you. Now, Nicodemus, he said, you are a wise teacher. Don't you know what am I talking about? So don't think that you don't understand this. Nicodemus, who were the teachers of the teacher, couldn't understand that either. He said, how can I go back to my mother's womb and born again? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you don't understand how long you've been a rabbi. And I'll ask you this question. How long you've been Christian? And I'm not accusing you or not trying to put you in a shame or guilt, but I'm asking you this question. If you don't understand that, please come and see me. That's the concept we all need to adapt. Jesus said, listen to me. The wind blows where it wants to. You don't know where it goes and where it comes from. And Nicodemus was baffled, confused. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being born again. How can I go in my mother's womb? And you're talking about wind? He said, yes, because you cannot be born again by your own efforts. It is like wind. Do you know where the wind goes and comes? No. Same as the work of Christ. The Christ who died on the cross for you, for the world, it is confusion. It's a magic show. It's something which is theological jargon. But no, I'm telling you that I can give you a new birth because I'm going to die, buried, and rose again for you. Simple concept. Now, let me explain that concept in a simple form to you. Do you know what it is? No, just give me a simple answer. What does it look like? See, these kids are too intelligent, too smart for me. What? A lorry. Yes. It's a lorry, right? It's a truck. It's a toy truck, right? Now, what is the intended use of this? Neil can tell. Neil? Transport things, right? But I spoke to Lynn and I said, Lynn, I need this transformer thing. See that car? You must have played with this. I don't know if it is in your generation or not. In my generation, this new movie came called Transformer. What do you call the good transformer, the alien things? They are alien, isn't it? They came from some wonderland to this land. What do you call them? The good ones. Tell me, somebody.
Battlebots.
Huh?
Battlebots? Yeah, that's what they say. Battlebots.
Battlebots, yeah. So Decepticon are the evil ones, and I don't know, the other ones are something different. Anyway, so you change them like this, from a lorry it become a transformer. I believe something more useful. Now it can be used for battle, can be save the world, and can do a lot of other things, right? That's what God is changing us. When we are born something, and God is asking us that you are not good to me if you're born in sin. You need to be changed. You need to be born again. You need to be transformed in something better, something different. Now, can you see that? Go for another one. Another slide. Another slide. Right? Now, can you kids tell me what is it something that born in one form and it changes itself later on? Yes.
A caterpillar.
Right, exactly. On the screen. Yes, it's a rainbow butterfly, a favorite butterfly. People have voted the best butterfly is a favorite one called rainbow butterfly. Now, rainbow butterflies start as an egg, and then it become a hairy caterpillar, very ugly one, I believe. You know, not a lot of people like it. And then it transformed into something different. My English is not that good. I don't know what it's called. Okay, well. A cocoon. Is it called cocoon?
It's called cocoon, but some people call it a chrysalis.
Exactly. That was very difficult to pronounce for me. That's the reason I was not even going there. Well done. And then it transformed into?
A butterfly.
A beautiful butterfly. Another slide? Yes, it becomes like that. So we are all born, understand this, as an egg. But slowly, gradually, shaped by Christ, by gospel, by prayers, by fasting, by teaching of Christ, we become something more beautiful. And that's what Christ is doing for you and for me. Now, there was another story. In Japan, there was a one precious bowl, a tea bowl. Was it used by a warlord? I'll give you the name of that because it's, again, Japanese name. His name was Ashikaga Yoshimasa. Ashikaga Yoshimasa. Okay? Ashikaga Yoshimasa loved that tea bowl. And one day, he dropped it and it shattered. Shattered all over the floor. Now, he was sad. And when the emperor, especially the warlord, gets sad, he can destroy the world. So the craftsman came and he said, "Sir, don't worry, we can fix it for you. We can fix it for you." So they took all the pieces. They took that bowl away. Within 15, 20 days, they brought it back. And it looked really ugly. Why? Because they, with the wire staple, they stapled. All the cracks were seeing and it looked absolutely ugly. Plus, it was leaking as well. He wasn't happy. He said, "Craftsman, I'm giving you one more chance. Make it beautiful. Or," well, they said, "no or, sir, will go bad." And they did something marvelous. They used gold as a glue and they put that pot together. Now that pot looked like this. Well, go in the last one. So it started like the above picture, the broken, shattered one, and then this, and then they glued it all with the gold. Now this bowl, which was, say, 1,000 pounds, now become priceless, 10,000 pounds. Okay, and it's a real story. And this thing is called, let me tell you that what it's called. It is called, it's filled with gold, and it's called kintsugi, called golden repair. Isn't that what Christ does with us? Christ do not hide our shame, our cracks, our wrongs, our challenges. But he transforms us. The same earthen vessel, which was useless at one point, or maybe worthy of pennies, God put his own glue, his blood into us, join us together and make us something much more beautiful and much more useful. He doesn't hide our shame. He doesn't put that shame on us. He changes us, reformed us, and make us priceless. That's what Christ has done for you and for me, dear friends. Now let me tell you one true story. There was a man named Chris Carrier in Florida. When he was young, he was taken by an evil man. A man who did very bad with him. Almost stabbed him, burned him with cigarette, shot him, and then threw him in Florida's Everglades to die. However, this man survived by the Spirit of God. He was changed and now become an adult and been transformed and changed by the Spirit of God and now different man altogether. While he learned, this man, who was, his name was, let me just check again, this man named David McAllister, he's in a nursing home, blind, almost dying. So he went to visit him. Chris went to visit him and introduce himself. He said, I am the one. 20 years ago, you abducted me and you did all the wrongs with me. And he said, are you here to take revenge? He said, no, sir. I have all the reason to take revenge. I have all the reasons to not forgive you. I have all the reason to be very angry with you. But I'm here to tell you that I forgive you. He said, why? He said, because Christ forgave me. I'm a sinner like you, but my Christ forgave me, and that's the reason I forgive you. The tears rolled down. And a few days later, this man gave his life to Christ and died. Do we have that Christ transformation? Do we have that Christ deeper transformation when we are broken vessel, when we are broken teapots in the hands of the warlord? When we are shattered, God glue us with his own blood. Much more precious than gold and silver and platinum or whatever you call it. And make you precious as you are. You need to die to yourself and become alive in Christ Jesus. God bless you all. Thank you. Can we all stand now and sing our next hymn, My God is So Big, God Almighty. We'll sing that and then kids can go, right? Do we all know the actions? We need to do the actions. Let's all stand. Thank you. Thank you, Audrey. My reflection is again based on what I was preaching last week about the gospel. Now, you need to understand that sometime, as I said, we believe that we can change ourselves. We can work hard. We can do some, we can spiritually, mentally, physically can change us. Well, in one way, or maybe up to one extent, we can. But you cannot be successful if you are looking to live your life as per the will of God and if you want to change and transform yourself for the eternal kingdom of God. So what I'm trying to preach to you today, as I said to start with, that you need to dead to sin. You need to don't like that flesh which is a mortal body, you need to be alive in Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel says. If you're not dead to yourself, you cannot be alive in Christ Jesus. So let me take you back to Romans 6, 1 to 11 and share a few words with you. I'm going to tell you what to do to be changed and then tell you what not to do to be changed as well. If you want, you can note down these points, or on your order of service, I have given you some bullet points as well. In Romans 6, 1 to 11, Paul gives us one of the clearest picture you can ever find how real change happen in Christian life, how the real transformation can happen in Christian life. And this speaks right into our lives here, in our family, in our villages, in our homes, in our quiet struggles, and the places we actually rarely speak about. There's a question I believe every Christian must face, and at some point in your Christian life, you must have, and if you are not, I will ask you to ask this question to yourself today. If the gospel is true, especially in line of what I shared with last week with you, if the gospel is true, why do I still struggle the way I do? Valid question. Why do the old habits, why do the old sin still cling on to me? Why does the fear still whisper in my ears instead of the powerful way of and will of Holy Spirit? Why does sin feel so strong in my life? Why? And why, after all these years of following Jesus, I believe you are following Jesus for all those years, do I sometimes feel like I'm not changing fast enough? My change is so gradual or so slow, or actually there is no change whatsoever. These are all the valid questions you should be asking. And by time to time, you should be asking these questions to yourself as a true believer and followers of Jesus Christ. Paul's answer is not what we expect, my dear friends, because Paul always take us much more deeper into reality. He doesn't say, try harder. Have you ever find this in a Bible where it says, try harder and you will become righteous? He doesn't say, well, pull yourself together. Get on with things. If you do this therapy, if you try that method, if you do yoga, if you try some exercise, if you do some meditation, you will be changed and transformed. No, he doesn't say that. He says something far much deeper, and it's, I think every Christian should listen to it. He says, real change began by knowing what Christ has already done for you 2,000 years ago. The gospel doesn't say change and then God will love you. All the other religions say that. I can vouch for that. I can tell you that because I've studied them. All the other religion will say change and then God will love you. The gospel says God has united you to Christ. Now live out what is already true. The truth is that Christ has died for us and we are now free from that slavery. And Jesus himself teaches the same truth in John 3, 1 to 8, when he speaks to Nicodemus, a deeply religious man, very experienced, very educated. He doesn't say to him, Nicodemus, improve yourself. Because he has done that already. He is now a rabbi, PhD in religious studies already. He says, you must born again. Truly, truly, I tell you. Truly, truly, I tell you, Nicodemus, you and every Christian who wants to follow and have eternal life should be born again. Not you should, not it's a willful or it will be helpful. He said, you must. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is saying that the gospel doesn't polish the old life. It gives a new life. The life your parents gave is useless. It's like the filthy rags in the temple of God, Isaiah 68. We have to have a new life. a new heart, a new nature, a new beginning in Christ. And this is deep spiritual transformation, my dear friends. The very thing Paul is describing in Romans 6. The old self dies, the new self rises. The Spirit gives birth to a new creation, and that new birth is not optional. It is essential to all the Christians. So today I want to speak in two moments, as I said earlier. What to do to be changed and what not to do if you want to be changed and transformed by the Spirit of God. Let's begin with what to do here. The first thing is this, remember, Paul is saying, remember who you are in Christ. Paul is asking, don't you know? He said, don't you know? Because change begins with remembering, not feeling. You died with Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross. You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You belong to Christ. And I'm not writing poetry here. It's not a poetry. This is a spiritual reality for us. And I know what we say here. I don't feel like it. I don't feel it. Well, Paul never asked you to feel it, my dear friend. Your feeling doesn't matter. Your opinions doesn't matter either in front of the Bible and the will of God. Your opinions matter in your own life, yes. But not in the kingdom of God. The opinion what matter is the truth in the Bible. How you feel about it. I don't feel love. Well, he died for you. What more we want from him? It's not about feeling. Love is never a feeling. Love is an action. Love is fact. Paul never asked you to feel it. He asked you to know it. Your identity in Christ as the engine of that transformation, my dear friends. And if you don't feel that you have an engine will carry all the other things for you. It's the engine. The second thing is to consider yourself dead to sin. That's what Christ says. This is the only commandment in the whole passage in Romans 6. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. It's compulsion. Have a commandment. You listen to it. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. I don't feel like it. Doesn't really matter. What do you feel like it? This is not pretending, my dear friend. This is not fake it till you make it. No, this is not positive thinking either. This is counting something as true because God says it is true. When sin whispers, you can't resist me, your answer should be, you are speaking to a dead man. I can't hear you, sin, because I'm alive in Christ Jesus. When guilt say to you, you are still the same person, same old sinner, wretched, your answer should be, that person was buried with Christ Jesus. I am no more that person. When the fear comes to you and whisper in your ears and said, you will never change, your answer should be, Christ has already changed my status from a wretched sinner to a beloved boy, a beloved son, and a daughter. Isn't that enough for us? What Christ speaks through us? Or what does you feel matter to you most? Christ has already changed my status, my dear friend. We don't fight for victory. We fight from the victory. You know what the word gospel means in Greek? Euangelion. Am I not pronouncing it right, maybe? But you know what does it mean? It's a war word. When a king go for a war, and when he got victory, they send one person back to the village. He runs and come back and shout, gospel, gospel, gospel. And everyone know that the victory has been won. They don't need to worry about it at all. It's not that they all need to go to war to win that battle. The battle is already won. That is what gospel means, my dear friends. And that is what I'm saying. We don't fight for victory. We fight from the victory. Your starting point is that Jesus Christ has already won the battle. The third thing is to offer yourself to God daily. Paul says, present yourself to God. This is a daily rhythm of transformed life. In our village, we understand offering. Farmers offer their early mornings. Carers offer their strength. Parents offer their patience. teachers offered their willingness to teach. The shopkeepers opened their shops for you. They offer something. In the same way, the Christian offer their whole self to God, not to earn grace, my dear friend, but because grace has already claimed them. A simple prayer each morning works wonder. Lord, I am yours today. My hand, my will, my thoughts, my words, my actions all belong to you. Please use them. How many of you get up in the morning and say good morning to Christ? Good morning, Jesus. Do you say that? Try it. I was preaching in one of the seminary in India. Not the seminary, well, it was a day camp. We take it to the highlands. And there were around 45 kids, and I told them, the mantra, you can call it. I said, every morning when you get up, say good morning, Jesus. Before you utter any word from your mouth, say good morning, Jesus, and then go to your parents and tell them good morning to them. A week later, when we come back, our mother called me. She said, what have you done to my son? I said, what's wrong? Have I done something wrong? She said, no. He said good morning to me every day now. A 16-year-old boy never said good morning to me ever. Now he says so. Christ transform and change. It's a daily surrender of your heart, my dear friends. And the fourth thing is to trust the power of resurrection. That's what Paul says. Just as Christ was raised, we too may live a new life. What biggest promise we can find anywhere? The resurrection is not only a past event, my dear friend. It is a present power for you. It's the same power that rolled the stone away. It's the same power that breaks addiction, bitterness. Give courage to the weary ministers, the lonely widows, the struggling parents, the orphan boys, the anxious teenagers. It's the same power. The gospel doesn't just forgive you. It recreates you. That's what Christ has done. Now let's turn to the second movement I would like to share with you. What not to do if you want to be changed. Listen to this very carefully as well. And again, you will be thinking you have to do something. No, you don't. The first thing is this, don't minimize sin. That's what we have done. Our government, our schools, our parents, our teachers, that's what they have done. They are trying to immune our kids with sin. We are trying to normalize sin in our society. Paul begins with shocking question. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Shall we do that? If Christ declares it sin, if the Bible declares it sin, it is sin. No matter what your government says, no matter what your teachers or your parents says, if it is sin in the Bible, it is sin. Don't try to define it different way. Don't try to misinterpret it. It is in the Bible. In other words, since God forgive, does sin really matters, we ask. Yes, because sin always destroys what God loves. Satan will always destroy what God loves, what God created. Satan will always destroy you. Here we say, yes, but everyone is like that. Everyone is following that sin. Why not me? But the gospel never shrug on sin, my dear friend. If you minimize sin, you will never experience deep change and sin will devour you. This is why understanding sin matters. It does. The second thing is, don't rely on your willpower. Some of you will think, I'll do some good works. That's my willpower. And I'll be changed and transformed. No, you cannot. Willpower can change habits, yes, but it cannot change the heart. Trying harder without the gospel leads to pride even when you are successful. Despair when you fail and exhaustion either way. The gospel way is different, my dear friend. You don't change yourself. You present yourself to the one who changes you. That's what you need to do. You need to stand at the foot of the cross and ask Christ, "It's impossible for me, Lord." You will sing the fourth hymn. It is impossible for me, but it is possible with you. Please do that. The third thing is, don't live as if the old self is still alive. So many of us wants to give CPR to our old corpse, aren't we? Paul says the old self was crucified. Crucified means dead. Not wounded, not weakened, crucified. dead, but many Christians drag the corpse around. We still want to do some operation on our dead bodies. And we say, that's what I am. I can't help it. I will always be this way. But the gospel says that person has died, my dear friend. Stop giving CPR. This is the heart of old self to the new self. That versus your mortal body to a spiritual transformed body. That's what Christ wants you and me. And the fourth thing and the last one is, don't let sin reign on you. No, don't. Paul says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Sin wants to be the king always. Sin wants the throne. It wants your loyalty, but has no legal right to rule you anymore. Why? Because Jesus himself warns us about this in Luke 6 when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I've already claimed you as my children, as my beloved child. Why do you still let the sin reign on you? The wise man builds on the rock by hearing Jesus' words and doing them, and the foolish man hears but does not change. Who are you? Are you foolish or are you wise? If you are foolish, you will let the sin reign on you. And if you are wise, build your house on the rock. Jesus is saying that obedience is not optional. No, it is not. It is the mark of genuine discipleship. Real faith leads to real obedience, and real obedience leads to real transformation. That's what Christ wants to do for you and me. Now, let me give you a small picture. There is a story from the highland about a remote village cut off by a river. For generations, people crossed by stepping on stones. Some stones were stable, some were wobbly, as you know, and harsh winter, rain, snow. Every winter someone will slip on it, fell on it, and swept away in that lock. Then one year, council decided to build a bridge, a stable, solid, unshakable bridge. But for months and months, many villagers still use the stone. Why? We are stubborn, aren't we? We don't want change. We have our old habits clinging onto us. Fear, familiarities. I have always done it this way. I don't want to change. Build is ready. The bridge is ready for you. It's free. They kept walking on the same old way and hurting themselves as often they could. Romans 6 says, Christ has built the bridge, my dear friend. Stop living on those stones. Stop walking on them. Walk in the newness of life, the bridge Christ has created and built for you with his own blood and body. So, my dear friends, hear this as we close. Real gospel change is not about becoming a better version of you. No, it's not. It is about living out a new life Christ has already given you by his grace, in his mercy. You are dead to sin, you're alive to God. You are united with Christ, you are now free. And when Christ set you free, you are free indeed. So step off of the old stones, walk across the finished bridge, live the life Christ has already won for you. God bless you all. Can you all stand and sing our next hymn, hymn number 512, To God Be the Glory. please be seated. Now, please request Miriam to come forward and join and pray.
Let us pray. Father God, great is thy faithfulness. You're always with us as we go through life in all circumstances. Thank you for having faith in us even when we doubt ourselves. Help us always to focus on you and not our problems. Help us to serve you faithfully and patiently, inspired by the Holy Spirit to work for your glory. We pray for those caught up in war and living in fear, anxiety or turmoil throughout the world. We pray that you would fill them with your peace that surpasses all understanding. For the world leaders, we pray for discernment and wisdom that you would guide them to peace, tolerance and reconciliation. We pray for leaders in our governments. Help us to be respectful and mindful of different opinions. Help us to work together to build stronger, caring communities and to love our neighbours. Father God, we pray for our church so that each of us might make use of our individual talents, enabling our new church union to flourish as a witness for you. Help us all to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet. We pray for all those who are ill or need care for, those who are lonely or grieving. Bring healing, peace and comfort in times of need and bless their families and carers. We pray for all of those who are struggling in their lives. Bring them hope of an end to their suffering or difficulties. Father God, we pray for ourselves as we go from our church today to start the week ahead. We ask that in all we do, may we walk more closely with you at our side, safe in the knowledge that your love and care knows no bounds. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much for reading. Dear all, can we stand again and sing our closing hymn, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Do we know all this? Do we all know this hymn? Yeah? Well, you sing it, it'll be a beautiful sing. Let's all stand and sing it.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. For my life, only bound to Him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need the power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been born, and I shall overcome, but not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled, and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, but not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. And this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in him. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. But through Christ in me.
Can you please remain standing while we pray for our offering? Generous God, everything we have come from your hand, and everything we give returns to you with thanks. Lord, as we bring these gifts in our plates, in our many other ways, we ask that you would use them to build your kingdom, to bless our communities, and to transform lives by the power of Christ Jesus. Shape our hearts as we give, so that our offering is not only in money, but in love, in obedience, and in trust. Take what we bring, Lord, and use it for your glory and for the good of your people. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. Go now in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May the God who transformed hearts continue his good works in you. May Christ lead you in the newness of life. And may the Spirit strengthen you, walk as the children of light. Now may the Father, may the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.
Amen. 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 Shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you again.
Please be seated. I heard somewhere it says that the saddest thing in men's life is that they receive flowers at the gravesite. And that's what sometimes we neglect men. That's why sometimes we have problem with the Father, the God Almighty. Yes, the Father sometimes keep you disciplined, sometimes hurt you, sometimes want you to be in discipline. But it's for your own good sometimes, I believe. I believe so. Anyway, be a man of God if you are not, and transform others' life to be the man of God as well. And in the same way, it's all for you as well, for all the women and all the men. Let's learn from how our Father in heaven take care of us and learn how to be man. So treat the fathers in your life, no matter where they are, and give them some honor and some respect on this one day at least, on the day of Father's Day. God bless you all. Thank you. You may not see me next week because I'm away to Isle of Arran. Please pray for the 40-odd kids who are there so that their lives can be transformed by the Spirit of God. And I'll see you when I see you, because I don't remember when I'm here next. God bless you all. Have a blessed week. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you.